Part of our reason for coming together on a Sunday morning in our celebration is that the Lord may speak to us. We sought to give him praise. We sought to give him all the glory and honour. We've sought to listen to his voice already. And God continues to speak to the his people and to all people who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in the 21st century. Indeed, in the year 2015, God is still speaking. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for the scriptures. This is the inspired word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody quote to me 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, please. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We need to be equipped with God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we can fulfill whatever task he gives us. We can go through life, through the storms, through the trials, knowing that our God is with us. Hallelujah. And indeed, he's perfecting us as well. Often it is through the storms, it's through the fires that he can perfect us. He can get rid of the rottenness, the bad fruit even, so that we, our lives, our testimonies, give glory to Jesus and we're effective. Hallelujah. God is still speaking. Hallelujah. This is the unique word of God. No other holy books compare to this, because this is the God-breathed word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I mentioned right at the beginning, it's time to forget baby steps of faith. Now let me be absolutely clear. We're a mixed congregation. Some of us have just begun our walk of faith. So in terms of our spiritual walk, in terms of our faith, it's baby steps. We need the milk. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need discipling. Praise God. Now, something that we're seeking to take serious in this church, that is discipling. Because once we are being discipled, we can then disciple others. And that's very much on Colin's heart for this year. And it is ours as well. That being discipled, we go and make disciples to the glory of Jesus. That's the command of Jesus. Others of us have been going on the way for some while and we're being weaned off the milk. We don't need everything done for us. Hallelujah. We want the meat. We want the solid stuff. Hallelujah. And others of us have been in the way of faith, maybe for some while. We, if you like, have become mature, born mature in the things of God. And God's word very much is, okay, you shouldn't be taking baby steps of faith. Step out of the boat. And those in this congregation who have as yet not taken that step of faith, that initial step of faith of casting themselves, as it were, at the feet of Jesus Christ and called on him for forgiveness, called on him for his love to be shared abroad in your hearts, called on him to cast all of those sins and the pride and the not loving him as we should do, casting them at the feet of Jesus and receiving his grace, receiving his love. Christ Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May today you take that step of faith and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the one sent from God, the only begotten Son of God, the one who alone can forgive sins. Friend, if you've been trying to get to God some other way other than through Jesus Christ, you've been misled and you'll never find the one true God. You may find other gods of your imagination, but not the one true God. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me, Jesus says. Jesus says, those who come to the Father through me, I will in no wise cast out. I won't drive you away, Jesus says. What an invitation. We come to the Lord on our terms. I pray even today, even now, you'll be asking the Lord, please reveal the things of God to me now by your Holy Spirit. Take away anything which I have learned that needs unlearning. Empty my mind of those things which perhaps have brought a hindrance to knowing you, Lord, that I may receive by faith Jesus Christ, who is the friend of sinners. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I would like us firstly to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read the opening four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For unto now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. And one reason why some of you may still be on the milk, still taking baby steps, because you're too worldly. You're not set apart for Christ. You're not seeking and loving him with all of your mind, strength, with all of your soul. Idols have got in. Maybe even legitimate things, but that you're consumed with them. You're consumed with your work. You're consumed with worry. You're consumed with things which are hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. But you are still carnal, verse 3 says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? But when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? The second scripture is Hebrews chapter 5. I think some of you will have already got there before me when I was talking about still being on milk and not growing up. Hebrews chapter 5, and we read verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And friends, if we're going to contend for the faith, if we're going to grow in grace, if we're going to be those victors, the overcomers that Christ desires for us, we do need to grow up in faith and take those bigger steps of faith. Our main reading is Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Haraphoth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal-Zaphon. You should camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Haroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod, your staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all of that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great works which the Lord had done in Egypt, so that the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I'll tell you what, God deals in the dramatic. God deals in the dramatic. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Last week, of course, we spoke what I felt God gave, more of a pastoral word. Let not your hearts be troubled. God wants to give you peace. And that was for certain people which the Lord knew about. And I pray that that has been speaking to you through this week. My peace I give unto you. He doesn't give as the world gives. The world can give peace, but it's very temporary, and it's often in the things which you possess or the things which you can get hold of and so on. But the peace which God gives is a very inner peace. It gives you joy even when everything around you seems to be upside down and quaking. That's the peace God wants for you, and I pray that that will continue in the days to come. In the coming weeks, we also want to be looking systematically at the Word of God, perhaps taking a book of a Bible or a letter of the Bible, because again, there is great benefit by reading and thinking and meditating and teaching on the Word of God systematically. Hallelujah. One reason why it is beneficial, you have to preach on the things which you might not normally want to preach or you might not want to hear, is preaching the whole Word of God. God is speaking. I wonder what God is speaking to you about this morning. What about these steps of faith? Because God does deal in the dramatic. Hallelujah. And we may be looking a little later on at one or two other instances. You see, in this chapter that we have just read, Exodus chapter 14. Well, did you see verse 15? The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." I want you to imagine, the nearest I could get to sort of the population of Israel who was going down to the Reed Sea, it's the Reed, not the Red, to the Reed Sea, and then crossing it on dry land. The nearest I could get would be, say, the population of Wales. And there's quite a few people living in Wales, south, mid, and north. And so you've got all the people of Wales, as it were, travelling down. But they haven't got their petrol-engined turbocharged motors. They're going in rickety chariots. They've got old and sick men being carried on blankets. They've got babes in arms. They've got barking dogs. All going down on a journey. Away from Pharaoh, away from the Egyptians, away from the enemy. They're obeying God. Can you imagine it? The masses of people carrying some of their possessions with them, going down to the Reed Sea. And then, thinking that they are escaping from the enemy, lo and behold, Pharaoh has again a change of mind. So the Egyptians come after them. Indeed, they overtake them. And we just read in Exodus chapter 14 that fear came upon the Israelites. I'm not surprised. Then they started moaning and murmuring, "Why didn't we stay behind in Egypt?" That was terrible labor. They were abused, the Israelites. But in their moment of fear, in their moment of weakness, we were better off there. Sometimes the tempter whispers to you, he whispers to me, "Hey, you're better off in your old life." You know, when things are going tough or you've got decisions to make and it's going to cost you to be obedient to the Lord, sniff back into the world. No, no, no. The pathway of obedience, hallelujah. Get behind me, Satan. I wonder this morning, we spoke 2 or 3 weeks ago on choices and changes. Whose side do you want to be on? God's side or the enemy's? You want to be on God's side, don't you? You want him to be on your side? This verse 15, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" The angel of God going ahead of them. The angel of God behind them. Hallelujah. That's protection. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. The demonic possessed Pharaoh, he didn't stand a chance against the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God Almighty, didn't stand a chance. He's chomping at the bit. He's going to murder each and every one of them. No way. The majestic Holy One opens up the Reed Sea. Do you know, it opened up about a mile wide. On either side, the banks rose to about 100-story building high. That's dramatic. God deals in the dramatic. The Israelites pass through on dry land. Go forward! You've done your crying to me. You've sought my face. You've asked for my help. Now act on it. Go forward. Go forward. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Look, friends, faith doesn't necessarily know where it's going, but it knows the one who's leading. Faith doesn't necessarily know where you're going. We walk by faith, not by sight, but we know who's leading. The angel of the Lord went before the Israelites. That's why sometimes we say our God is awesome. We're awestruck by the Lord. We're awestruck by Him. His majesty, His power, His love, His grace, His justice. A sheer power. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God is speaking to me. Hey, you're not spending time in my word. I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on. And I can speak to myself here because I'm now on it. It's time to withdraw from the Facebook. Turn the television off. Come to me. It's time to take big steps of faith. For this church, we're taking big steps of faith. Not the baby steps. The big steps of faith. God dramatically responds. One illustration I would like us to refer to or speak about in the New Testament is the rich young ruler. You see, God does deal in the dramatic. He can step in. He can change a situation. He can part the Reed Sea. He can bring deliverance. He can bring healing. Hallelujah. He is the God Almighty. But you see, the gospel which Christ wants to be associated with today it's not a nice gospel in some ways. Many people have taken sin away, so we don't teach or preach on sin. But actually, we need to know that we're sinners, come far short of the glory of God before we can accept and receive His salvation, His forgiveness. Hallelujah. When God often speaks in the Word, or when Jesus speaks in the Word, it's often a real sharp word, a word of conviction. It's not always nice. And here we have the rich young ruler. In fact, the rich young ruler you will find in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We won't read it, but you may want to make a note of it. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 30. So as you look up, perhaps, when you get home. But the rich young ruler, here is a successful businessman. He's saying to the Lord, what must I do? And the Lord says to him something quite dramatic. Okay, prove that you want to follow me. Sell all that you have. Get rid of it. That's dramatic. That's the call of the Lord to this man. He may say something different to you, but to this man, Jesus is making a great point. Sell what you have, because his possessions, his money, owned him. And of course, in the Old Testament, wealth was deemed to be a sign of God's favor. And this man probably
would have been looked upon and looked high up. But Jesus demanded, he didn't suggest a dramatic requirement, a dramatic response. Don't make an idol of wealth. Remember, your heart follows your treasure. Remember, your heart follows your treasure. So this was dramatic. Okay, if you're serious, sell what you have. That was a hard thing for this rich young ruler. He went away sorrowful. What about one of our favorite stories? And we sometimes sing the song about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. And when the Saviour passed that way, he looked into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today for tea. Zacchaeus. That's dramatic, because this man, Zacchaeus, was a social and a religious outcast. He was a tax collector, and he was an immoral tax collector. Like most of them, he would have been taking money which was not his to take and putting it in his back pocket. He was disliked. We will have no dealings with this man. He's not good enough to be a Christian, a religious man. He's beyond the pale. But this man, Zacchaeus, this short man, was so desperate to have an encounter, to see the Lord Jesus. Jesus sees him and dramatically invites him to come to his house. Salvation came to his house that day. You see, Jesus, perhaps we would have said, okay, Zacchaeus, you've got very rich. Don't forget to tithe. No, Jesus, much more dramatic. So, the word of God, Jesus, penetrates the heart of Zacchaeus. And he gives back all that he has stolen and more. He does more than is necessary. That's a changed life. Dramatic. Dramatic. God deals in the dramatic. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Did you know Jesus is the giver of life? Jesus is the giver of life. A third example I want us to look at is John chapter 4. Perhaps we can turn to John chapter 4. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to pick out one or two verses. But it is concerning Jesus at the well. We spoke about this not too long ago. Jesus is at the well, and this woman of Samaria is there also. This isn't a story to explain how nice Jesus is. He sees the woman. He speaks to her. Now that is a scandalous move for a rabbi. An absolute scandalous move. A rabbi, a teacher, speaking to this woman. Drama. Jesus deals in the dramatic. Then he baits the hook, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, because she said, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Wow. He baits the hook of her curiosity and he prophetically reveals her sexual sin history. That's drama. The folk are stunned. She's stunned. Absolutely stunned. She forgets her water pot. She rushes back to town. She says, hey, come and meet a man who told me everything about me. Surely this is the Messiah. And the village turns out to meet the Lord and Master, God and Saviour. Dramatic. The kingdom grows that day by leaps and bounds. Verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that ever I did. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to me? Many other illustrations I could use, but just the last one is, of course, Jesus Christ on the cross. He is the condemned man, the Son of God, being a criminal, crucified. Is there a more dramatic example? The response to his passion, to his suffering for all mankind. The tombs of the dead open up and they begin walking around the city proclaiming his story. That huge temple veil that took the huge effort of dozens and dozens of men to erect, being ripped from top to bottom, just like a piece of tissue. His mother Mary and the other faithful women standing there watch him slowly die. Dramatic. Dramatic. And it was because of his love for you and for me. Love for the community. Love for the outcast. Love for the sinner. The exaltation that came this morning, that he's given us life, that he reigns, eternal life, now, and it goes on getting better and better. Christ deals in the dramatic. What do you need God to do for you? What are you going to do for the Lord? Take that step of faith. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is good, God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." Friends, I want to say to you, as I say to myself, if you've been in the way a little while, it's time to leave the baby steps behind. Step out. Step out in faith. Take God at his word. You may not know where you're going, but you should know the one who's leading you. Keep taking steps when life hits you. God wants you to keep taking steps of faith. Faith pleases God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you fall, dust yourself down. The same way as you do if you trip and fall down, you get up again. When you fall, we don't lay on the ground and give up completely. We get up again. We begin again. Friend, so in life, exercise faith. Get up. Keep going. When your children are messing you up, stressing you out, don't quit. Keep taking steps. When your job is draining you, your spouse is driving you nuts, don't quit. keep taking steps of faith. Think of that same confident faith you use when you're walking around. When you're walking around, you don't worry about your steps. You just walk. That is, if you're able-bodied. So through life's troubles, through circumstances, keep walking. Yes, it's normal to get tired, but keep walking and exercising your faith. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus heals people, Jesus delivers people, and he said, greater things than these you will do if you believe on me and if you follow me, if you're obedient to me. That means greater in number. Jesus was 3.5-4 years on earth, but we've got a lifetime. I don't know how many years, months, days we've got left. But greater things than these you will do if you take steps of faith and put your trust in me, walking by faith, not by sight. Not dwelling on the circumstances. We've spoken about choices. Either you can take steps of faith or steps of worry. Steps of unbelief. The choice is yours. I know what God wants, and I want to do what pleases the Lord. How about you?